Okay, thank you. Okay, welcome everybody to the monthly sponsorship forum. We have a couple of topics we'd like to throw out there, and one of them is quality sponsorship. Why it's important that the sponsee does not get their sponsor guidelines until they have 30 days. We'd like to talk more about that. Cheryl, would you like to get us started on that topic?
Suzanne, may I just interrupt? This is Susan.
Yes.
You're always so good about this, and I think it just slipped your mind. Could we start with a serenity prayer?
Ah, yes. I knew there was something I was forgetting. Sorry. Let's start. Okay. Please, everybody, let's start with a serenity prayer, and then we'll get into it. That's a good way to start it.
God grant me the strength to accept the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will be done. All right, everybody, with star 6 to mute, please. That would be great. Now we're officially together and going to start. Now, Cheryl, would you like to expound on that topic?
Okay, this is Cheryl, compulsive eater. The topic we decided to speak about today, oh gosh.
May I help?
Please.
The broad topic is quality of sponsorship. And then we also looked at, and then in subcategories, we talked about having that daily call with the sponsee and sponsor, as opposed to some variation on that, as well as some concerns about a person new in program getting the sponsor guidelines booklet.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
got it.
Okay.
Okay, this is Cheryl Compulsa. Oh, these little lapses of memory. Not going to call it age, but whatever. At any rate, we were discussing about how important it is to have that daily connection with my sponsor, with my sponsee. I know I do with my sponsor as well. I know, even if it's just a couple minutes, if I'm in a rush, I'm going out the door to my live meeting on Monday mornings, whatever it is, I need to hear my sponsor's voice, and she needs to hear mine, turn over my food, and answer the question real quickly. The reason for that, I also just say that I do not like to take texts. People say, well, it's easier to just text because we don't have that personal connection, and I think that's very important. So having that connection to my higher power keeps me grounded, keeps me knowing that I need to report. I need to be able to show up, and I didn't used to do that in the past. You know, I used to be complacent about important things, you know, business meeting. I just didn't go. I isolated. I just didn't want to go out, didn't want to be seen. I was so fat, obese. And today I can't afford to do that. I need to show up, whether it's on the phone or live meetings. So the connection to my higher power is important, and I want to have that same thing going with my sponsees. In terms of understanding that, you know, there are times when it's not possible, and that's okay. But the other topic that came up that was very important to me is that there was a newcomer recently, and she had a hard time getting the sponsor guidelines. And my question is, why do you need the sponsor guidelines booklet? When we first start the program, what I do and what I've always been taught to do is have the newcomer hear me give them the first question, write it down, and answer it. And every day I would give her the next question for the first 30 days, first 30 questions, she'd write them down and answer them. Now, what happens is sometimes the sponsors are in a rush and they'd rather not spend the time giving the question and waiting for the sponsee to write it down, and they prefer to give the sponsor guidelines book. The problem with that, in my opinion, is that I think it's too much information for a sponsee to see the four-step inventory questions right away. I know that I was pretty turned off and scared when I saw those questions when I got to the four-step inventory. And to have seen that in the beginning, I would have bolted. I would have run. You know, that's not for me. I don't like that. I don't want to answer those questions. So I don't need to see that when I'm first starting. Once I've been stepped up, I've got my 30 answers, my 30 questions answered, I've been stepped up, I'll be ready to go ahead with the four-step inventory. So how do we avoid having the sponsee see those questions? And the answer for me has been all these years is just turn that question over every day. What we are in the process of doing, we're working on, is putting out a motion at World Service where we can separate those questions, possibly put them into two separate booklets. But that's in the future. That's something. So how important is it for a sponsor to set down guidelines for herself to say that this is what I do? I'm willing to sponsor, I'm willing to give them my time, but I must be willing to do it the right way. So how can I help another sponsor, how can I help a sponsee to the utmost of my ability and make sure that I have the time to do whatever it takes? Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Susan, would you like to add to that?
Boy, I think Cheryl laid it out so beautifully. I'm Susan, a compulsive eater, and I just want to concur and say I feel very much in alignment with what Cheryl said. I think it is very important to speak with my sponsees on a daily basis, to have that continuity of contact. We don't take breaks on weekends or even holidays. If at all possible, when I'm traveling, I'm talking with my sponsees, I'm talking with my sponsor, and I need it even more when I'm out of my normal routine. And going back to the main topic that we came up with, the quality of sponsorship, I think it's imperative that when we have the time that we absolutely consider sponsoring. I make it stronger than that, but I know there are extenuating circumstances. But it is such an important service. But then when we step up, again, we're not doing it without the support of our sponsors and other trusted fellows and the guidance of our higher power, and we do it to the best of our ability up to the point of our recovery, and we do it with quality. We don't do it just to do it. We are gaining so much in that service of learning how to be in right relationship with another person, of having appropriate boundaries is really, so often, I say this with some regularity, I see again and again, both for myself and in others, that the sponsoring relationship brings up family of origin dynamics and learning how to discern those sorts of energies and inclinations and keeping appropriate boundaries in this different sort of relationship, and learning how to communicate effectively and lovingly and with support is just an amazing gift that we are given in 12-step recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. And I'm Susanna. I'd just like to add that these guidelines were put together by people who had been absent a long time, had seen when it happened, when perhaps they got the questions, sponsees got the questions way, way, way too soon. And yes, it is an investment of time. Some people have time to maybe sponsor a lot of people. Maybe someone has time to sponsor one person, but it's quality over quantity. And I was taught, we give the sponsee 15 minutes, not five. I had a friend a long time ago, she had like 15 sponsees, and she gave them all 5 minutes, and she asked me, do you think that's not right? And I said, yeah, that's not right, in my opinion. And she's like, whoa, I never thought of it. It had to be quality. I said, how much time and attention are you really giving that person? So it is an investment in time to give your sponsee the question. In my case, a lot of times I've worked with people who've been around, so they have the questions, but I have worked with newcomers, and a couple of times they've said, why don't I just get the sponsor guidelines so you don't have to figure out how to give them to me? And I said, no, because I know what can happen. Not always, but they see those questions that Cheryl brought up, and they bolt, or they lose their abstinence on purpose, or they just get so way ahead of themselves and we're supposed to stay in the moment. And I now have a scanner, so I can scan it, and it's time-consuming, but it gets the job done. when I didn't have that, I would call another sponsee and then dictate the question to me on a tape recorder, and I would give them the new sponsee the question. And a couple of times the people have said, thank you for not giving in to the temptation and making it easier. It would have been easier, but it would have been so much harder. So there are reasons, and it always amazes me that there are some people who have been in the program a long time and they don't have the sponsor guidelines, which is the opposite. They just, I don't know how they can do that, or a very old copy. And that's why it's really important to get the new copy, because some things can change over, you know, every year. So there is a reason and why we must, and there is a reason why it's suggested in the guidelines that we do this. It's not like we made it up. People before us have come up with this, and it does work. Are there any questions about this? Anyone would like to ask a question or share?
Hi, Suzanne. I have a question. This is, I don't know if we give our names.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. I've come across recently this situation where sponsors are not available on the weekend or for one of the days of the weekend, and this is not including for religious reasons where you need to make some special plans, you know, or special things to do. What can be done about that other than to, you know, move on to another sponsor?
Oh, boy. Thank you, Susan. Who would like to tackle that one?
I'll try. This is Cheryl, compulsive overeater. What I'm thinking is, yes, in regard to religious purposes. So what I do, and because I cannot turn over my food on Saturday, we don't make phone calls, that's a religious thing, is that I turn my food over on Friday. So in other words, I'll give my food for Friday and Saturday and then connect with my sponsor again on Sunday. So we're just keeping Saturday. And then I would do two questions, or I would do the question on Friday and then another question on Sunday. But this is something I've been doing for years. It works well, and it's something that the only way that I can work my program, because these are the restrictions that I have. And that works really well for me. I sponsor that way as well. But it's something that it's non-negotiable, but it doesn't change. It doesn't mean that I don't call on Thursday or I don't call on Sunday. This is what I need to do, and this is the way it works for me. Any other day, unless someone will tell me that they're going to be in a situation, you know, flying or driving in an area where there's no cell reception or anything like that, I understand that, because I have to remember one thing. This program, and it says, I don't know what, big book, it's life on life's terms. I have to be able to work this program so that I can work it into my life and make it part of my life. If it's going to be something that I'll have to stop every time there's something that comes up, you know, there are people that are in the hospital that will be abstinent, where people will come over and give them the food, but they don't have access to that daily phone call. So that's life on life terms, or emergency situations. And I have to be understanding of that, whereas sometimes you'll find a sponsor decides to slip that person because they need to make the call no matter what. I need to be understanding. I need to know that, hey, we're humans, things come up, but it really has to be an important thing, and I need to be told in advance, unless it's something that you didn't know before. But if you're going to have a doctor's appointment and you couldn't do any other time, let me know the day before, so I'm not sitting at the phone waiting for that phone call. So with understanding, with kindness on my part as a sponsor, it can work beautifully. Thanks.
Thank you. Susan, would you like to share?
I actually am sponsored by someone who is sponsored by someone who I believe is sponsored by someone who don't do their sponsor calls on the weekends. There are so many other reasons why I stay with this person. I just feel so loved and held by her that I choose to accept that that's the way she's sponsoring, but that's not the way I sponsor. And I send her my food every day of the week by email, but I don't speak to her on the weekends. But I make a fourth outreach call on Saturday and Sunday as a way of just, you know, making peace for me around that. And again, I expect my sponsees to talk, you know, to be talking to me each day. And again, extenuating circumstances and all those, you know, are part of that figuring. It's written, and it's a tool that is explained specifically in the tools that we read at every meeting, and I don't trust myself to riff on things that are laid out for me specifically. I'm an addict, and if I start giving myself some leeway and room to change what's written and laid out, I open the door for more things to get reinterpreted. So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. I'd like to share. When I first came in, my sponsor had me call her very early in the morning, but she said on Saturday and Sunday, you still need to call me because we are compulsive eaters every single day. Our disease does not take a vacation or time off for the weekend. So I had a different call time on the weekend. And I understood, like, I can't take a break from, well, okay, well, does that mean I don't do the rest of my program, too, because if I don't call? So I'm glad that she, you know, for me, said you need to call me on the weekend. I had a sponsee who sponsored someone who for religious reasons did not call her on Friday and Saturday at all. And so she decided she wasn't going to call me either. And then it became Sunday as well, and then Monday. And I said, you are not being sponsored because you're not calling me. I said, it doesn't work. If you have a sponsee for religious reasons, cannot call you, but you don't have those religious reasons, and you need to call because I see what's happening. And she's like, yeah, I you're right. I'm taking advantage and then running with it. I do have a friend who, for religious reasons, cannot call, Friday night, Saturday. But what that person does is they have the call Friday morning, and then just for that connection with the sponsor, has a quick call Saturday night, and they've been doing it for years. And for that person, that works. That's not everybody's story or everybody's path. But for that person, they just really, really need it to connect, even if it may be a quick, I'm fine, how are you, I'm checking in. And but it can get, the program can get watered down. It can, not everybody does it, by not having the weekend calls. Because I know that for me, my sponsor is going to meetings on the weekend, so I do connect, but sometimes it's hit or miss, but I do make the call. And we sometimes connect, sometimes we don't. Most of the time we do, but I know she got my call. That's what's important. And I turn up my food and everything else. And on the weekend when I know she's not impossible to get, but a little bit harder, I do more outreach, as Susan had suggested as well. But I think sometimes, especially if you're first new, if you get in the habit of not calling your sponsor on the weekend, things could fall apart. Like, well, and I won't do my writing, I won't do the calls, you're not calling my sponsor. And it really is important, those first 30 days, to lay a strong foundation for the rest of your program. Is there anyone else who would like to share on that or ask a question?
Yeah, this is Joanne.
Go ahead, Joanne.
Two things. People, when they order the Forever Abstinent, I'm the literature person, when they order the Forever Abstinent book, there's postage and handling charge there. And then if they order the sponsor guidelines separately, there's another charge. And if they order them together, it's less shipping and handling. that's one problem that I come up against. They don't want to pay that extra money of ordering them separately. Also, there's another problem I come up with every once in a while where the sponsor actually scans the Forever Abstinent books questions one page at a time and sends, you know, scans them to their sponsee. And they do the whole thing that way. They do the whole book. So there's no way I could control that, you know, but there's those two things that I'd like to throw out. And I don't think there's any answers for it, but that's a problem I run up against every once in a while. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne.
I'd like to answer that. This is Cheryl.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Joanne, for that question. For one thing, it's illegal, and we were just told that not long ago by World Service. It's illegal to copy and distribute or to scan The Forever Abstinent or any other piece of literature, CHOW literature. So knowing that, and I was guilty of that before. If someone new came in and I didn't have The Forever Abstinent handy for them, I would just scan a page or two or some of it and send it. And I don't do that anymore because now I know that it's not allowed. I'll read it to them, and I'll try it. Sometimes I give my own copy away. I'm a literature person as well here in the area, and I make sure that they get it. In terms of the costing more postage to send them, so my take on that is it worth the extra couple dollars and have them stay on in the program, or let them save the $3-4 and leave when they see those questions? So how important it is to keep the newcomers coming back versus saving them the few dollars and sending them the questions beforehand. So
thank
my opinion,
Cheryl.
It's, you know,
oh,
yeah.
I thought you were done. I apologize.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, it's to me, I'd rather ask them to spend the extra postage and make sure that I'm helping them stay and get them the questions when they're ready for it after being stepped up.
Thank you. And I would just add, I've had sponsees that don't want to spend the money either, and I'd say, well, how much was your last binge? And are you not worth it? Because I know that for myself, I can be stingy when it comes to myself, and then I have to remember, this is an investment in me, and I am worth it. And that's what I tell my sponsees, or if they have a sponsee, I say, you know what, this is an investment. How much was their last binge? And that usually takes care of it. Susan, would you like to expound on anything?
No, in agreement with both of you, and just it does point to the need for separating those first 30-day questions from the sponsor guideline book. So I'm glad that we are putting that work in play so that we can do that.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on what we're talking about?
I have a comment to make.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. You know, getting back to some of those questions, I'm one of those people that was ready to leave the program. I was a newcomer, hadn't had any recovery in 30 years. And, you know, when I finally got the book, well, I was at a face-to-face meeting, and I, with my sponsor, gave me the questions, but I also had the book, and I started to scan through it, and I said, oh, my gosh, especially in the childhood questions, that very intimate. And I said, who has the right? Oh, my gosh, I went on a tangent. And then I thought, well, okay, I'm going to leave this program. I'm not going to stay a part of it. I'm not going to go through this, blah, 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 blah. But I was desperate for abstinence, and I was desperate for my, well, I was abstinent, but I didn't want to throw that away. I was in a dilemma. So finally, I said, well, if you can't fight him, join him. Because I said, there's no other place for me to go. But it was really hard for me to, you know, deal with that. And it still was hard. And I always tell people, actually, certain questions, I say, you know, you're not obliged to have to answer this question to me or to anyone. But this is the question. And, you know, you can meditate on it and think about it. Because I think those are really heartfelt and deep. And they may help but they also can make people leave. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Would anyone else like to share or ask a question on this?
Yes, Susan, this is Loretta. I'd like to share for a minute.
Thank you, Loretta. Uh-huh.
Thank you, and thanks, everybody, for your service. I have worked with sponsees who are returnees, and so they already have the book. What do you suggest in a case like that?
Oh, boy. Uh-huh. Who would like to tackle that one?
Hi, it's Susan, compulsive eater. You know, I would just say if they're returning, they already have exposure to the program. You know, it is what it is. They've got it. And you take the issues as they come up for that individual. That's my thought. This is just a concern of someone brand new to 12-step recovery, especially, who might be put off by the questions. Again, you know, if they have issues around it, you know, we can talk about it. It should be the sponsoring relationship and those morning conversations or whatever time of day, you know, should be feel like a safe place to talk about fears and concerns and be heard and held and have a response that can, I hope, quell your fears and concerns. Thanks.
This is Cheryl.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
What I like to do in a situation like that and try to remember is that I steer it to the positive. Yes, I understand you don't like these questions. Yes, I understand that you're fearful of them. So was I. But how did I get past it? And what is more important to me today? I'll point out the fact that I look up to those people with years of abstinence, and I'll say, I want what they have. I'll do what they're doing because I like what they have. I like the physical appearance. I like the weight that they've lost. I want that. And I like the way they sound. I like the way the negativity's out of their voices, you know. And for me, when I hear a sponsor spew all that negativity when they first start and everyone's hurting them and everyone's out to get them and all, and then all of a sudden it changes slowly, very slowly, and I see the growth. So I'll concentrate on that, and I'll talk about the growth that I see and that I hear in their voices. And think, is it worth it? Do we want to dwell on these questions? Or do we want to just get past them and listen to yourself, see how you've changed? Look to the future. What is there in the program that attracts you? What is it that you like about the program? Can we get past these questions and think about what it is that I want? What am I looking for? What do I admire the people that came before me? And if they really want the program, if they really want to work it, we can get past those questions. And again, there are questions that people are not comfortable with, and I'll say, okay, we can skip it now. We'll get back to it later. Just mark it, and we'll get back to it. Or if there's something that's really not applicable, I'll just say it's not applicable. But that's when we get to it, when we're into the four-step inventory question. So for me, it's getting them away from that negative part and showing them the beauty and the promises in the program.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Suzanne. I wanted to expound on something I think Elizabeth said. A long time ago, I had a sponsee that got the sponsor guidelines in her first 30 days, unbeknownst to me at the time, because even though it was known, you don't give out the sponsor guidelines in the Forever Abstinent book unless you're a sponsor. It wasn't written. And so she went to a face-to-face meeting, I think the third or fourth day of abstinence, and got the sponsor guidelines. And spent most of the rest of the 30 days focused on the inventory questions about how intrusive they were. And so it kind of took away from her focusing on today. And then she took the sponsor guidelines to the psychologist, and the psychologist, she told me, said they were intrusive as well. I will give this to her. She was very honest, so I asked the question, well, did you tell him they were intrusive? And she said, well, yeah. And he said, if you think they're intrusive, then they're intrusive, but they're not really intrusive. So she was honest enough. But my point is, she spent the rest of her 30 days focused on those other questions. So that was a big distraction that neither one of us really needed, and she knew that later. She realized that that was not good. I'm glad now it's written that they must have a CA House sponsor and they're given out at the appropriate time. The other one is, why did I slip my mind? That's not good. Having one of those moments. The other one was a good point, I thought. Well, that's been my experience. Oh, yes, that's what was, I just came into my brain and now it left. Does anyone else want to share or ask a question? I'll think of it in a second. Oh, I know what it was. I've done this with two different sponsees. And you get to know your sponsee, you know, that investment in time with them. And a couple of them, there were some very, very difficult questions. And what we did was, I would say, put that aside, put an asterisk next to the question, and let's come back to it at another time when you're ready. And so that's what we did, is we went back to it another time, and they answered it. And that worked out. And I did ask them to pray and meditate about those questions. And but they did do them. And that helped. Oh, right. That's what I wanted to remember. Anyone else who'd like to ask a question or share?
Suzanne, this is Susan. Just based on the last bit of what you said, I also have experienced, my experiences in answering the questions, especially step questions, but any of the questions we're answering, I'm answering them, my sponsees are answering them to the best of their ability at the level of their recovery at the time that they are answering them. So, you know, if it's not a big block where it's just like, I'm not coming up with anything, but you know, there seems to be a surface quality to it for myself or the other person. It, you know, generally I'll say, you know, do you feel like there's anything more to say? So I'll ask myself of that or the other person. And if the answer is no, I recognize that that's where I am. And I go back to the step questions. I go back to the step questions every few years because I know that I work an active recovery program. I am actively peeling away the layers, and I'm in a different place a few years down the line, and so that more is available to me in answering questions. So I wanted to add that as well.
Thank you, Susan. I would just add that, you know, sometimes when I have a sponsee that's struggling with the writing, and I can understand because I have had that problem in the past, I just remind them, this writing is for you and your recovery. Yes, by sponsoring you, it is helping me. But the writing, it's for you. It's for you and your higher power. I get to hear it. I get to share it with you, or you get to share it with me. But it's for you and your path and your uncovering, discovering, discarding. It's for your process and your recovery. And I think sometimes because they say, well, you know, I have to do this writing for you. I'm like, no, you're doing it for you. Not for me. It's for you. It's like, I have to do it for me. Anyone else would like to share on this topic or ask a question?
This is Cheryl. Just
go ahead, Cheryl.
Something on that last point. I'll get this. I did your homework for you, or I did answer your question for you. And it's like I feel like I'm this strict teacher that asks them to do questions that they really don't want to do. And so I try to explain that they're not my questions, and no one's obligated to do them. They're required. They're not suggested. But if I want to do the program, I'll do whatever it takes. But I'm not doing it for my sponsor, like you just mentioned. I'm doing it for me. And if it's an obligation that I need to do for someone else, it becomes a real task. It becomes a hardship. So knowing that I'm answering that question because what I want to do is to strengthen my program, it makes it that much easier to do than to worry about, I better get this done for her, or I better get this done because my sponsor's going to get mad at me. So it's hard to sometimes have them understand that, but it's very important for me to do that because you can see it in the writing too. You can see in the writing when it's something they feel they're angry that they have to do in order to be able to make the phone call. On the other hand, the people that tend to skip the questions and just turn the food over, I once heard someone say years ago that she felt she was like the operator, food operator, because at one point she couldn't reach a sponsor, couldn't reach anybody else on outreach, and needed to turn her food over. She dialed the operator, and she said, listen, please listen to me, don't say anything, turned over her food and said thank you, goodbye. So that was like the operator. So she said, I don't want to be the food operator. I don't want to be someone that you can call up, give me your food, dump the food and your food plan and hang up. So I need to hear that question every day, but it needs to be something that you know you want to do. You do the writing for yourself and not for me. It's important that they see that. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, and then that's okay too. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, you said the food operator. I like to tell my sponsees if they're just turning their food over, I'm like, well, we're not a diet club. This is a spiritual program. And if you're just turning over the food, yeah, it's a diet club. And who needs to buy all that other stuff, the guidelines and everything else, if you know? So, yeah, I like that, the food operator. All right, would someone else like to share or ask a question?
Suzanne, this is Susan from New York. I would like to say thank you to the three of you for continuing to put out so much information and good topics for the sponsorship forum. And I would also like to ask that another time be considered other than the Sunday morning time. I've just heard from a good number of people that they can't make it at this time because of other obligations. So I'm just passing that on. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. We'll talk about that, and just it is recorded, but we'll talk about that.
Suzanne, hi, Susan. We have talked about it repeatedly. You know, what's important is to find a meeting time where it's well attended. So the end of a meeting time, of a meeting that is well attended, where there isn't another meeting starting in a half hour, and where the three of us are available. So when we went around and around, and we did try different times when we first started doing this, we just decided that this was the best for us and for those circumstances, you know, those extenuating circumstances or needs, and having the recording, you know, is the sort of compromise for those that can't make it at this time. But I do understand the frustration for those that want to participate actively and are not available to do so. We will continue to talk about it, but we've gone around a few times on this and come back to this time. But thank you for saying so, Susan.
And thank you, Susan, yes. And my suggestion would be if they really want to ask a question, they can call or email one of us, and we'll discuss it, and they can hear the recording. That's always one way of, to do it. But thank you, Susan. Both Susans. Anyone else with a question or a comment? We have a little bit of time, I think.
I show about 4 minutes, yeah.
Oh, 4 minutes to close?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So anybody with a quick question or comment before we close? Quality sponsorship. Investing in their sponsee, investing the time. Well, just a reminder to everybody, this is being recorded. It will be available on the recording line as soon as it's done. And our next sponsorship forum, I believe, is the 17th of September. Is that right, Susan?
Yes.
Yes, September 17th, 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time, 8:05 a.m. Pacific Time. And I guess we'll close because I don't hear anybody sharing or asking.
You know, hi, Susan, compulsive eater. I just want to come back to something that I think I ended up saying in one of my earlier shares during this forum, and that's the idea that sponsoring is a gift that we give ourselves, and it may feel cumbersome, and it may feel like a burden. And to, you know, one of the things that I'm learning in my recovery is when I'm in a negative frame of mind about a particular whatever, to look for a way to reframe it and to be in alignment with my higher power's will in a positive way. Well, my higher power only is operating in a positive way in my understanding. And so then to see all the service that I do as a gift to myself, being more part of this program, of giving back what has been so freely given to me, of learning how to be in right relationships with others, and opportunities to learn and to grow in so many avenues. That is what service is to me these days, and absolutely sponsorship. And it is challenging. And we are asking a lot of ourselves. We are giving freely of our time. But it is such a rich opportunity. So I just wanted to come back to that idea.
Yeah, and I have 1 minute to close here. I have had sponsees who get very frustrated because they invest in a sponsee, and that sponsee may have other ideas and plan to leave, or the time doesn't work out. But usually they get upset, and they're not quite ready, and they leave. And we can take it very personally. And one of my sponsees said, I'm not going to sponsor again. And I said, well, I didn't say much at the time. I know she was very hurt. I've been there a long time ago. It used to hurt me very deeply. And I said, at the appropriate time, you will sponsor again. You know, maybe sponsor temporarily for people who go on vacation, your sponsor's gone. But it is a gift. It is a gift to do this. And the reasons why we must, well, it's in the guidelines, the sponsor. We cannot keep what we don't give away. And even though at times it's hard, it is a truly wonderful gift. Okay, I think we should close. If everybody would like to join me, I'd like to thank Susan and Cheryl and everybody who asked questions. And like I said, if someone cannot be on the sponsorship forum, all three of us are on the phone list, and they can call us or send us an email about a question they would like asked. Once again, thank you, everybody, and let's close with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
Courage
to change the things I can. And the wisdom to tell the difference.
I will. Not mine.
Be done.
Thank you,
Suzanne.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Cheryl and Susan.